I want to read a letter to you to begin this morning. There's a gentleman that I'm acquainted with, J. Lee Grady. Great Pentecostal preacher, theologian. He went to India just recently. And he had an experience there and he wrote a letter about it. I'd like you to listen while you take a look at a person who has the disease leprosy. Nasty disease. Said, after 10 days in India, I was feeling homesick, but my host had arranged for one more important visit before my departure. We drove 45 minutes from Hyderabad to talk with some lepers who live in an abandoned building on the edge of the village of Madahar. Pastor Paul, who leads a Pentecostal church nearby, invited us to help him give these desperately poor people new blankets to sleep on. My friends, Raha and Sam, and I sat in plastic chairs in front of the crude concrete building, and the lepers gathered around us, sitting on dirty mats on the porch. I tried to focus my attention on their faces, but I couldn't help but notice their gnarled hands and feet. Some of them were missing fingers and toes, while others had leathery scars on their necks and arms. Flies were swarming everywhere. Something in the air made me itch. I tried to hide the sadness I felt by engaging the lepers in conversation. They told me how painful their disease is and how many years they had suffered with it. They explained why the building was abandoned. A Hindu charity established the home and then stopped funding it. Then one infected woman pointed to the man next to her and explained that they had met and married while living as lepers, and that their son was born in the facility but does not have the disease. Then she smiled and told me I was the first American to visit them. I told them a story about how Jesus healed many people with leprosy. It was the first time I'd ever been this close to a leper. I was nervous, and even though everyone had assured me that I couldn't catch the disease simply by being near infected people, when it came time to present the blankets, Pastor Paul asked me to hand them to each person. I wondered what would happen if my hand brushed one of theirs. When it came time to leave, I wanted to throw my arms around each man and woman, but fear created a barrier. I kept a healthy distance until one of the older men, a dark-skinned guy with gray beard, reached out for my hand to say goodbye. He had stubs where his fingers had been, and he clutched a filthy rag that he used to cover his hand when the pain grew intense. I smiled, grabbed one of his hands and shook it. I hoped he didn't see the uneasiness on my face. Inside, I was petrified. I wanted to find soap and water as quickly as possible. As we drove away, I felt ashamed of myself. Why didn't I shake every leper's hand? Why didn't I just hug all of them? Why did I let fear of contamination block the love of Jesus that I had told them about? In India, millions of people have been told that they are too unworthy to be touched. In the Hindu religion, untouchability is a fundamental principle. Those at the bottom of the caste system are called untouchables. And in rural areas, they still deny basic human rights, even though the caste system and discrimination is illegal. In extreme cases, untouchables have to be forced to drag a broom behind them because their footsteps are deemed unclean. They are forbidden to enter Hindu temples. They are told they earned their pitiable condition and status at the bottom of society because of sins they committed in their past lives. Among Hindus, lepers are considered the ultimate outcasts. This is one reason Christianity offers such a contrast to people in India. Unlike the Pharisees of his day, Jesus did not avoid lepers or other untouchables. When a man who was covered with leprosy begged Jesus for healing, the Bible says he stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus was radical about touching. And we should be the same way. But you know, Christians can be as cruelly aloof as Hindus. When we judge people rather than offer mercy. My experience in India made me realize that I've often blocked Jesus' love because of ingrained prejudice or stupid fears. And J. Lee Grady says, this great theologian, Lord, forgive me. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. That story that Mr. Grady referenced. It happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he, Jesus, put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Immediately, the leprosy left. Some persons are treated by society as though they are untouchable. Some persons are so gripped and enslaved, so depraved and destitute, so different and derelict, so down and so out, so helpless and hopeless that they become untouchable to most people, but not to Jesus. I ask you the question this morning, who do you consider untouchable? It is the homeless, the mentally ill, the alcoholic, the drug addict, the prostitute, the sexually deviant, or maybe those with sickness and disease. Maybe it's the person who dresses differently or listens to some weird music and has piercings and tattoos all over them. Who is it that you don't want to touch? I have to be honest with you, as Brother Grady was with the lepers. I was in A.C. Moore the other day, and I was headed toward the cash register, and at one cash register was a nicely dressed lady. At the other one was this dude who had collar in his hair. He had a ring through his nose, tooth through his lips, hoops in his ears. And I said, I don't want him waiting on me. Maybe that was my opportunity to touch somebody. Who is it that you don't want to touch? That may just be the person that God puts in your path. This morning I want to make a difference. I want God to make a difference in us as Christians. Amen. Oh, I've got no problem touching this one. That's great. You took a bath last night, I hope. I have no problem putting my arms around any one of you in here, giving a hug. And I think that most of you feel the same way about us that are gathered here. But I've watched you when somebody walks in the door, you just don't quite know. And I've watched some of you as you kind of steered around them. They're new, they're strange. They've got my chair. So because of that, just that little thing, I don't know them. I don't want to touch them. I don't want to get involved with somebody I don't know. Luke chapter 15 has been called the Gospel of Outcasts. For centuries, this chapter has been seen as God's word to those who have fallen. It is a message for all who have wandered from Christ, who once were found but now are lost, who may be bound but are by besetting sin. What exactly is an outcast? In Luke 15, the outcast are those who have been rejected as failures by society and by the church. They include those who feel rejected by God because of a moral failure. This remarkable chapter opens with a crowd of sinners gathering to hear Jesus teach. And among them were publicans, tax collectors, a profession that was rife with corruption. Publicans were despised by society, considered to be rank sinners alongside prostitutes, fornicators, and drunkards. Indeed, all of these comprised the outcast of the day, people who were lost in the eyes of the world. Yet, this was the very crowd that Jesus loved the most. Think about that. Indeed, they were the ones he especially had come to seek and to save. They were the sick who needed a physician, and he was the physician they needed. How many people, pathways of life do you cross, who need a physician, and you're the one who has the touch of the physician to reach out, to touch them? What moved Jesus to touch the untouchables? What was it that caused him to want to reach out to those that no one else would? What moved him, and what is it that will move us to become like him? I believe it's compassion. I think the church so many times have lost our compassion for people. Notice, first of all, the man with leprosy wanted to be touched. It is hard to help those who do not want the touch. And I've run into those also. I've run into plenty of people. Just keep your religion. Don't share your religion with me. And you can't, you know, you can be friendly, and you can offer, and you can pray for, and you can do what you can possibly do, but if they spurn it and reject it and refuse it, there's nothing you can do really to touch them. But this man wanted to be touched. Do you know, in his society, he was out of order on this day? He was supposed to be calling out with a loud voice to everybody around him, "Unclean!" Which meant he had leprosy, and no one was to get near him. He was to get off the road if people were coming. He was to hide himself from public display. And yet this man, in his heart, in his soul, in the depth of his spirit, he cried out for somebody, "Just touch me." And he had heard about Jesus, and he came and he said, "If you will, you can make me clean." He wanted to be touched. When he saw the multitudes, Jesus was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus, this is about him, when he saw the multitudes of people around him that were fainting and failing and faltering, he was moved with compassion toward them. When he met two blind men in Matthew 20, Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their sight, their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Now, I don't know, but I've seen people with stuff running out of their eyes. They were blind. How many of us would just go on? Ooh. What's present there? But Jesus moved with compassion toward these People that could not see, these men who were blind, moved with compassion, went to them, touched them. He was moved with compassion for a wayward Jerusalem. He was moved with compassion toward the widow of Nain, whose son had died. He was so moved as he watched this funeral procession. And he saw this poor widow lady following the casket of her boy. And now she was destitute. Her husband was gone. And now her son had died. And Jesus, standing by, saw this procession. He felt the fear in her heart. He felt the grief. He felt the sadness in her heart. So much so that he went up to the casket and said, "Stop." Reached down and took hold of the young man and cried back to life. If he would not have reached out, that widow would have buried her son. But he stopped. And he did something because of the compassion he felt in his heart. Do we feel that kind of compassion? Look at the compassion Jesus had for the woman taken in the very act of adultery. Bible says they drug her in the midst of this whole group of people naked. She was shamed. Oh my goodness. Most of us. But what did Jesus do? He went to her. And he said to this naked woman, "I will not condemn you. Go and sin no more." Why? Because of the compassion in his heart. I'm telling you, saints, today, we need a baptism of compassion. We need such a compassion to whelm our souls and our lives until we are moved. How easy it is today to bypass people and look down and say, "Tough." Keep on going. How easy it is to say, "Well, I'm sorry for them, but, you know, not much I can do." Keep on moving. Jesus taught his disciples to have compassion. And he told them a story that was all about compassion. It was a story called The Good Samaritan. You've read it. You know what it's about. This man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho at a time when he shouldn't have been. By himself when he shouldn't have been. You know, he struck out on his own, and there he is. And now he fell among thieves, and the thieves who were known to be along that road, and you had to go in a crowd of people. They robbed him, they beat him, and left him for dead. And here comes the church. The priest in his robes sees him and looks on him, too bad, and he skips around him, goes on his way. No compassion. But here comes this man, a Samaritan, half Jew and half Gentile, an outcast of society. He's coming down the road and he happens to look over. No doubt there are some flies flying around, and he sees this man in his despicable condition. He's bloody, he's bruised, he's blackened. And what does he do? He stops. He goes to the wounded man's side because he was moved with what? Compassion. And so he bandages his wounds. That many had to
touch him. And he could hold him. This man strangled her. This man, I don't know what kind of diseases he might have. He's all bloody and bruised and beaten. But he has to touch him to bind his wound, to pour in the wine, the oil. I'm telling you, saints, what Jesus is showing us here is that we have to stop and be willing to touch the wounded of our world.
Amen.
We have to be willing to stop in the busy avenues of our own lives and reach out to touch those who have fallen among thieves. The thief of sin, the thief of drunkenness, the thief of drugs, the thief of illicit sexual activity, the thieves that strip people and bruise them and leave them along the roadside of life. Not only did he patch him up, pour in oil and wine to soothe the wounds and take care of the bacteria, but he picked him up. Literally got his arms underneath of him, picked him up off of the ground, set him up on his own donkey, and carried him with him. Went out of his way, took him to an inn, and the Bible says, cared for him. He didn't just say to the innkeeper, here he is, you take care of him. He cared for him. And when he left, he took the money out of his pocket and said, here, I'll pay his bill for him. You talk about touching the world. That's what compassion will do. I want you to notice that Christ's compassion requires action. He touched the man with leprosy. He touched the blind men's eyes. He wept over Jerusalem. He stopped the funeral procession and raised the widow's son. The Samaritan, the story that Jesus told, took time to stop and go to the side of the wounded, touch the bandage, the wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine, touched and picked up the wounded, putting him on his donkey, took the wounded with him, brought the wounded to the inn, took care of him, and paid out of his own pocket. Christ's compassion requires action. Don't tell me you love people. Don't tell me you have compassion for the world and you never do anything about it. Don't tell me you feel sorry for so and so, but that's all you say. And there's no action to back it up. You see, Christ's compassion requires action. But I want you to know that at the end of the road, when you take the time to stop and touch, when you take the time to reach out and bring healing presence to somebody's soul, to somebody's life, to be a friend to the unfriendly, to reach out to the downtrodden, when you do that, there are rewards. Listen, Jesus brought about change. Yes, he went to action, but when he went to action, things happened. Change came about. The leper was cleansed. Oh, hallelujah! Can you imagine that scene? This man who had to cry unclean, who had not been able to hug his wife if he had one, or hold his children or grandchildren because he dare not go home. He dare not go to the ones who are clean. He hadn't been to a store for ages. He didn't wanted to reach out and touch people. He was unclean. But from that moment when Jesus acted and touched him and he was clean, he could go home and hug his wife. Hallelujah! He could pick up his grandkids. He could go out to his neighbors and shake hands and sit at their table and enjoy lunch together. The blind men had vision because he stopped to touch their eyes. Moved with compassion, his action brought sight to them. The same, the multitudes were ministered to. The dead came to life. And even though Jerusalem didn't repent, they were prayed for. Amen? The adulterous woman was forgiven and commanded to cease her actions. I want to just drop something else by you here this morning. I was reading a web page this week. It was in research on touching, and this individual had written this web page, and it sounded good, you know, for a while, and about the church not willing to touch the needy, and he was putting emphasis on the church's stance, the true church's stance against sexual deviancy. But after a while, I got his drift. You're supposed to welcome them in and take them as they are and never expect any change. I said, oh, no. Wherever Christ reached out in action, there was change. The sinner stopped their sinning. The adulterous woman, he said to her, go and don't sin anymore. Don't be doing this again. I forgive you. And I show grace. And I move compassion. I don't want you to die in your sins and be stoned to death. But I'm telling you, there's change. Has to be change. If we touch the untouchable to make a difference and bring a change, we will gain housing for the homeless. We will comfort the feeble-minded. We will bring comfort to those who are down and out. We will cause the alcoholic to be sober and the drug addict to stop his addiction and those that are in deviant sexual behavior to change their behavior, to bring healing to the sick and diseased, and to bring forgiveness to the guilty. Have you decided who it is that you don't want to touch? Have you decided who it is that I wouldn't be very comfortable reaching out to them? Have you decided what kind of person that is? Now, if you have, you have a challenge. As I've just delivered to you the message of what Christ says you're to be. You're to reach out. Are you ready to touch the untouchable? Or are you sitting in your seat right now saying, oh, do I have to? Must I? I think I'll go to heaven, and even though I don't get anything and have straw and hay that'll burn up, I'll still make it in. Will you receive the challenge this morning to touch the untouchable? Will you feel the sandals of Jesus and touch the unclean? So that they can become clean. How many here this morning will say, Brother Lay, I want God to baptize me with compassion. I want God to baptize me with compassion so that I can reach out to the untouchable. J. Lee Grady came home from India with that pounding in his heart, and he wrote that letter. And he said, "Oh Lord, forgive me. How many of us have passed by an untouchable? And now it's time for us to look up and say, Oh Lord, forgive me." Would you do that right now? Oh Lord, forgive me for not having the compassion I need. The compassion that stirs action, and the action that brings change to somebody's life, to somebody's heart, to somebody's soul. Lord, help me. Baptize me right now with your compassion, O God. Let me leave here with a burning desire to be able to reach to anybody, anywhere, at any time for your glory and for their well-being. In the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus. If you've accepted the challenge of baptism of compassion to touch the untouchable, stand with me. Don't you dare stand if you don't mean it. Look around. There's an army here. I want you to find somebody who's untouchable. That's what Jesus did. He didn't wait for them to come to Him. He went out and searched them out. He found them. And He reached out. It's going to take your time. It's going to take your money. It's going to take your emotions. It's going to involve you in other people's lives. But let me tell you, when you see them changed and moved to be a different person, you'll walk away saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." I want you right now to reach out and touch somebody. Right now. Amen. Amen.